principle. Amen. Today is the third Sunday of Great Lent, and every Sunday throughout Lent is dedicated to a certain theme or a certain subject. The first theme, which is the first Sunday, is Pum Pare Genton. This is the Mardi Gras of the Armenian Church. This is the day when we remember where we were in paradise, and we were celebrating our time in paradise. The next Sunday, which was last Sunday, is called the Sunday of the Expulsion. And we remember when we were expelled from paradise, when because of our disobedience to God's word, we were removed from his presence, and we were taken out of paradise into this world. Today is referred to as the Sunday of the Prodigal Son, mainly because the gospel reading is about the prodigal son. But moreover, today we remember and we are called to repent. We're called to repentance. And we see that in today's gospel reading, there are three parables that Christ speaks about. One about sheep, one about money, and one about the prodigal son. In reality, today's gospel reading is about losing things and finding things, being lost and being found. And we see that gradually, those things that are lost become much more intense. The first is one sheep out of 100. That's only 1% being lost. Then you have 10 coins and one coin is lost. You now have 10% that is lost. Then you have two sons and one is lost. Now it's 50%. But in reality, as I said, in Armenia, if you are a parent, if you lose just one child, that's 100%. It's not 50% are lost, but all is lost. And today, every time one of those things are found, whether it be a sheep, a coin, or a son, Christ says there will be great joy in heaven over just one sinner who repents. Because they are dead and now they are alive, they were lost and now they are found. Repentance is such an important part of our faith, but it's something that we don't often do and we don't like to talk about or participate in. And the reason for that, I think, is because we have a misunderstanding of what repentance truly is. Repentance, we usually hear it and we think punishment, guilt, sorrow, or pain. And this is because in English, the word repentance or penance is related to the word penalty, penal code, punishment, and punish. These are the same root. And so when we hear repentance or penance, we feel we have to suffer in order to get God to love us again, which is not the case at all. The Greek word is metanoia, or metanoia, depending on how you pronounce it. And it literally means the changing of the mind. Meta, to change, noia, mind, nous, noia. So to change your mind, to change how you approach the world. Armenian, the word is abashkarutyun. And as I said, ab means, it's a negative form. It means no or not. And as I use the example, abush, which means stupid. Abush. Because it means one who is not attentive. Ab, not, ush, ushatir, one who is attentive to things around them. Okay? Aberacht, ungrateful. The same idea. Abashkarutyun then means ab, means not. Ashkarel means to cry. To cry. This means, for Armenians, to repent means not to cry over what you have done anymore. You've made a mistake, move on. Change your life. Change who you are. Don't dwell in the past, but now you have done something wrong, become better. And all of us have, at one time or another in our lives, whether it be a spouse or a parent or someone we love, when you've made a mistake and you've come and apologized, they will probably say to you, don't apologize, just don't do it again. Just don't do it again. That is abashkarutyun. That is metanoia. That is repentance. When Christ says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he is not saying, go suffer because God's coming. But he's saying, change who you are so you can be worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Change your lifestyle. Change what you are doing. It is not supposed to be a painful or mournful process, but rather a time of joy and comfort. It's not supposed to be a time when we suffer, but it's a time when we turn away physically from our sorrow, our sins, our mistakes, and we turn to God. Those that have been part of an Armenian church baptism have seen this. We go to the narthex of the church, the front of the church, and we physically turn to the west, turn to Satan, and we say, and we renounce him, and we renounce everything he does, we renounce our sins, we renounce all the things that we have done in glory of him, which are sin, and we physically turn, and we say, we turn to the light of the knowledge of God. We turn towards the altar. There's a story, there's repentance, and repentance is truly a time of joy because it is at that moment we are reunited with God and we come into communion not only with God but the body of Christ, the church. This is what true repentance is. And if we see in the gospel today, every time that something is reunited with the others, there is great joy. We see that when the sheep goes wandering off and is reunited with the other 99 and with the pastor, with the shepherd, there is great joy in the pastor's, in the shepherd's face. When the coin is reunited with the other 10, the woman who lost it rejoices and invites all of her neighbors and her friends over because they have been reunited. This coin has been reunited. And when the one prodigal son is reunited with his family and with his father, it is then that there is great joy again. There are so many people in this world who are in need of that joy. There are so many people in this world who are in need of being reunited with God, with their families, with their friends, with the body of Christ, the church, with their community, and with people all around us. There are so many people in this world that feel so distant and removed from this world, removed from one another, that they are lost. They need to be reunited. There's a story in Spain of a father and a son who have an estranged relationship. They had a huge fight and they no longer talk to one another. And the son abandons the house, leaves, and goes out into the world. The father, for months, is searching for him. He's looking and looking and he can't find his son anywhere. So he decides he's going to take out an article in the newspaper. And he writes this Dear Pablo, his name is Pablo. Dear Pablo, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you. Love your father. And so Saturday morning comes around. He goes at noon to this newspaper office. And in front of the newspaper office, what does he find? He finds 800 Pablos. 800 people named Pablo that are looking for their father's love. This is the same thing that happens to us. We live in a world today where God has said to us, I love you. Come to me. Everything is forgiven. No matter what you have done, no matter what you can do, I still love you. Just change what you have done. Change who you are. Change into the person I have created you to be. Come be with me. But so many people don't do that because we are afraid, we think we're not worthy, or we think we have to suffer somehow in order to get our Heavenly Father's love again. I ask and I pray that as we continue in this Lenten journey that we're in, because we have, I think, another 3 or 4 weeks left until Easter and the resurrection, I ask that we try to recognize the mistakes that we have made in our life. What sins have we committed or we still commit and we can't come to terms with? What are we doing that we need to change who we are so that we can become the Christians that God has created us to be? What are those things that we're afraid to acknowledge and repent for? Remember, repenting does not mean suffering. Repenting means changing who you are so that God can say, you are mine. What can you do? What is it that you are looking for? Because then when we are truly changed, and that's the whole purpose of Lent, the whole purpose of Lent is to change who we are so that when Easter, the resurrection, comes around, it's not so that we go back to how we used to be. Right? This is what we think. I give up chocolate for Lent so that I can have a lot of chocolate after Lent. It's not how Lent works. It's not how our faith works. You give up chocolate and sweets during Lent so that after Lent, you don't depend on those anymore. You have physically changed who you are so that you can become a better person. This is the purpose of Lent. This is what the resurrection does for us. The resurrection changes all of creation. It changes everything we are, everything we understand, and everything we could possibly think to be. I'll talk more about this on Easter, so you have to come on Easter, about what that means and what the resurrection truly means. But in a nutshell, I ask you again, what do you need to do to change to be better? What do you need to do to change to be better for God so that he can say, you are now what I have wanted you always to be? My child, my son, my daughter. And at that time, as Christ says, the angels in heaven will rejoice because you have changed into what you were supposed to be. Amen.